Hello, y'all. We are here for a very special episode, a birthday episode, not my birthday, my younger sister Amaya's birthday. We are currently in the DCP studios in Times Square. We have our wine glasses of LaCroix sparkling water because she is allergic to alcohol, like truly allergic to alcohol. But we are here celebrating her 22nd birthday. And I asked Amaya what she wanted to talk about. And of course, she did her little shoulder shimmy and she let me know she wants to talk about, big surprise, sex. So this episode is going to be rated R, but you know, for me, I love talking about this kind of stuff because I'm on my own pleasure seeking journey. My sister is an expert in her own pleasure journey. And we also love talking about this. This is what we talk about even when we're not on microphones. So happy birthday, Amaya.
Thank you. What shimmy?
This shoulder shimmy.
I feel like I'm getting a reputation on Tigress as like a really sexual person. And as much as I am, it is really fun to talk about. But you know, that's not all I do. But
it's
like,
a valid reputation considering that you've been banned not once, but twice from TikTok.
Has it been twice now?
Twice. And
honestly,
we got your account back.
I lost count after the first time. Yeah.
So it is a valid reputation of,
I would agree, honestly,
liking to talk about sex.
I'll take a hit. Yeah. I mean, I think that it's something that we should be able to talk about. And I think that in my head, as much as I know that there's a lot of societal boundaries about talking about sex and these topics that are really quote unquote controversial or should be hidden, I never really got there. I've been comfortable talking about my body and like sexual relations ever since like a really young age. So
not really. I feel like after you did treatment and everything, you got more comfortable with it.
No, I was like always talking about it. Maybe not with you, but it was always something I think even I was curious about. I think that's a lot of like artists have a reputation of being hypersexual. In my experience, a lot of people think artists just have a lot more sex. But I think it's just because a lot of creatives, at least visual artists, like we do a lot of figure drawing and we're curious about the body, especially I'm a figurative painter, right? So I'm just like so used to the body being a body. And so I think I've always been more open and curious about the body and about how we interact with our bodies. So it was always just a topic I was like comfortable and, you know, like it was never something I was shied away from. I was always like, oh, like, what does this mean?
Speaking of personal growth, I woke you up this morning and you said something that I thought was really sweet, which is like, I actually feel like it's my birthday. Like I feel grown. I feel 22.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really interesting because I feel like whenever people have birthdays, you know, you always get asked, do you feel different? And usually it's like, no, I don't feel different. You know, but you actually said, no, I actually feel 22. Like I feel different. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think I think that 21 was a weird age because there's so much pressure to like be that age that you can get into clubs and drink alcohol and whatnot. And I never really felt like I was 21 because I couldn't do the things quote unquote 21 year olds were supposed to be able to do. And then
for context, Amaya turns bright red and then falls asleep after a few sips.
It's pretty dangerous actually. Yeah. It's a real allergy. This is not just Asian glow. This is a real hypersensitive allergy. My body starts shutting down. And so I think the personal growth that I've experienced over the past year in terms of mental health, in terms of my relationship with my family, in terms of choosing art, reclaiming art, like just more clarity around like how I feel about myself and my value system and what I value in my work and my all these things, right? It's kind of like come to the, I feel like only in the past couple of months, just naturally, I'm starting to put the pieces of myself back together again after they completely fell apart during COVID and completely fell apart after like my college breakup and all these things that made my life feel so messy. And maybe I don't know if it's my birthday. It might just be the spring. You know, I don't know about the timing, but this year in March 28th felt really special to me. I had a birthday with my friends and I woke up in the morning and I was like, oh, my God, like just thinking about 12 months and how long that is and how much happens in the past 12 months and how a year ago I was so depressed. You know, I didn't know how to dress myself. I didn't like eating. I liked taking shots because I knew it would like make me numb me and hurt me and all these things. Like I cried on my birthday. I cried to my mom about wanting to do art. Do you remember this? Like I had a breakdown at dinner on my birthday, all these things. And
I mean, you straight up left college. You went to art school this year.
So much happened in the past year. And I think that you know, 2021 to 2022, I saw our life in general, Nadia, we have seen so many major shifts, right? Like, I literally have a timeline that I had to make during my treatment program in 2016 where I had to write all the major things that happened in my life that kind of led me up to this point of like being mentally ill and being hospitalized. And like, we've gone through a lot, and since then we have continued to, but like, I don't know. I think just in general, this past year, just so much major shifts happen, not only in physically, geographically, like just the way that I see the world and interpret the world and the way that I embrace the world, I think at the crux of it, because I decided I'm an artist. Everyone knew this already, but like in my head, I was like, I'm an artist and I'm going to live and breathe and I'm going to do this thing. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to trust it. I learned to trust myself. I'm still learning to trust my instinct, my taste, the way I want to present myself to the world, right? Getting piercings, all of these things, and hearing people say like, what the fuck are you doing? And being like, I'm gonna do it anyway. Like, these are the things I learned in 21. Yeah. And I'm gonna keep growing and keep evolving. But like, maybe I'm gonna, you know, become a hedge fund manager when I'm 35. I don't know. Like, you know, like, I have no idea what's gonna happen. But I woke up at 22 and I was like, I don't know. Like, it feels like this is where I'm supposed to be emotionally. Yeah. And that feels really good. And I am so incredibly grateful and privileged to have, even in my long life, hopefully, to experience, honestly, again, one of these moments in my life where I'm like, wow, my baseline is happy, which has been a long time since, you know, your baseline when people, in mental health terms, right? Like, if everything's just vibing, when you're just vibing, how do you feel? When I'm like in a really depressive phase, it's just bad. Like, my baseline is bad, right? But now my baseline is like, I feel content.
Yeah,
and I feel content with my body, which is huge for me. I did a swimsuit photo shoot with Novel Swimwear. Shout out Laura, like 2 days ago. And I was like so excited. And I like was like, I don't even care if my like stomach is poking out, all these things. It's I feel like I'm like, wow, like so much has happened in the past years. And I was like, damn.
It's also so powerful to hear you say that, because I mean, I don't think anybody who listens to this will ever understand the degree to which your struggle with body image was. And I mean, literally from being hospitalized near death from bulimia to now be here.
Like,
and
a wheelchair,
in a wheelchair, like, I'm so proud of you for it. I also think, like, I've also noticed your relationship with your body and just reflection change. Like, when we take photos, or like, I took a photo of you and you used to, like, if I posted on social, I remember you used to have like panic attacks, make me take it down if you didn't like it.
And I recently saw a friend. I recently saw a friend from my blast from the past.
Her eighth grade crush. They hooked up.
The one who like I lost my virginity to. Anyway, I like saw him 3 weeks ago. It was really good.
Don't be shy about talking about it. You literally had a viral TikTok about it. It's not like nobody knows.
Also, he's like okay with me sharing about him, which I really appreciate. But I told him, because we were talking about me in sixth grade, and like just how much what has happened to both of us and how we're all so different. And he had said something about like, oh, when you're in sixth grade, you're like, rah, you're like, you're always yourself. And I was like, that's so not true. Like, I think there are certain parts of me that like, I was always myself in the sense that like, oh, instead of, because I was insecure, I wore my hair like an emo girl all over my face instead of like, you know, braiding it like all the white girls and stuff. Yeah. Like, I was myself in my own way, I guess. But I told him, I was like, wow, like that was the time when I only wear sweaters. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I was so insecure specifically about the pudge on the top part of my arm that I only wore sweaters. And I remember being so sweaty that I'd soaked through my Uniqlo pink salmon jacket. Yeah. And I refused to take my sweater off. I only wore long sleeve shirts, even when it was like 110 degrees outside. Because I was like so obsessed with people looking at this part of my arm. And I've had certain like points in my life where like, you know, the fixation changes. I'm addicted. This is part of eating disorder brain, right? There's always a fixation. And if I'm not fixated about my body, I'm fixed about anxiety, all these things. Hearing you talk, I was like, Issa commented on this when we were all together last weekend. She was like, I'm so proud of you in how you feel and think about your body. Because for me, it's not even like, it's like a certain level of body neutrality. Like,
But you're not body neutral now. Like, no, you have the moments where you're
I'm totally body positive. Even to the point where, like, I think what my eating disorder program gave me, which is, this is totally not the topic that we had chosen originally, but the gift that my eating disorder program gave me, which I went to a very special program called Cartini Clinic. I hated it during the time, but honestly, brilliant program. It forces you to kind of have the same meal plan every single day. Mm-hmm. So there's no challenge foods. They're like, you don't want to eat pizza? Fine, don't eat pizza. But eat this amount to stay healthy. And what that forced me to do over the period of like a year, right, was learn if I eat the same thing every day, my body will stay the same. And that was a long process of learning how to feed myself. That was 2016, it's 2022 now, right? But now, even when I have like go on a vacation or I get really depressed and I gain a good amount of weight, right, I see the changes in my body. And it's crazy to me because it used to drive, like, even if I felt bloated, I would be like, I have to go puke my brains out. I have to go do this and that, right? And now I'm like, man, whatever. Like, it's my body, but it's my body. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, they don't like you. They like you. You know, like the difference. It's like, oh, it's my body. No, it's like, no, this is just my body. Like,
I also think like I've heard, I mean, even today when I woke you up, we were like looking at pictures and you're like, wow, I'm really pretty. Like, I'm really pretty. And I don't think it's like conceited at all. I think it's like, yeah, like, what if we did grow up in a world where like the girls around you?
It fluctuates. I have days where I'm like,
of course,
I'm so ugly. But I said on top of that though, I was like, I think I wake up every morning and I'm like, hey Maya, like, hey. But I don't wear makeup usually, and so I wore makeup for the first time in months yesterday for my birthday party, and I realize when I don't wear makeup, I still compare myself to myself when I am wearing. You know, like it's just like the makeup thing. And I wasn't like, oh, I'm pretty because I'm wearing makeup. I was like, oh, I just forgot that is how I look whenever, you know?
It's like, it's a different look.
Yeah, that's just like side comment. But like, yeah, no, totally. Like, I wish I had embraced the, no, yeah, I'm cute. Thank you. I am cute. Yeah.
So this past year, 21, is also when you got out of a pretty long-term monogamous relationship and entered this single phase.
Oh my God, I've never cried so much in my life over a boy.
Yeah.
Well, not in a good or bad way, just
cried. Just it was cried. Emotional. There was an emotional breakup that was very drawn out.
I still have so much love for this person.
Yeah. But what I wanted to ask was, what has your relationship been with like pleasure and self-pleasure and sex in the last year?
Good question.
And like, where is it now? Yeah. Like, where's your baseline relationship with your body and pleasure now?
I wouldn't say that I'm like a celibate person in terms of like...
in any way?
Anyway, like, okay, so even... okay.
You just wouldn't say you're a celibate person.
Okay, I'm like, how do I talk about this? I think there's this thing where people are like, oh, like, you know, there's like this weird thing where people are like, oh, is it cheating if like your partner jacks off without you? Or is it cheating if your partner like masturbates to porn without you? And I'm like, what? Like porn, whatever you use for porn, Dipsy, audio, erotica, pornography, Erica Lust, shout out Erica Lust.
Like, we love her.
Right? Like, whatever you used memories to get yourself off, like that's on you. Like, don't worry about it. Like, honestly, like use whatever you want, in my opinion, as long as it's like respectful, you know what I mean? I think it's super normal to have like a self-pleasure relationship apart from your partner. So full disclosure, like I was totally masturbating all the time, even when I'm in relationships.
Yeah.
All the time. I think it's super normal. And so when I got out of relationships, like that never stopped. I definitely like think, I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is a tangent, but something I did notice like after the breakup was not in like a, I wasn't like okay, I was definitely like masturbating more, but not in a way like I was like, I miss him. Like, it wasn't like that. I realized I had a moment where I was like, holy fuck, I'm using this as a depressive mechanism to procrastinate my emotions and my work.
Cause it was just a distraction.
It's an activity. Like, I think maybe that's just me, but I, like, totally view masturbation as an activity. Like, I think that we don't talk about enough about how, like, masturbation isn't just, like, it doesn't have to be this thing that it's, like, fuck, I'm getting distracted because I'm thinking about jacking up and I'm horny. I'm going to masturbate and go back to work. Like, no, like, sometimes, like, I'm, like,
but sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is, which is not bad. Like, literally, sometimes, like, ugh, I can't go to sleep. You know what will make me go to sleep or fix my headache? An orgasm. But, like.
But for, I think it's also different depending on what genitalia you have. Because absolutely. I think that like when you have a vagina
or your history of sexual.
Yeah, your history. Like when you have a vagina, there isn't the same biological need to like empty out.
Absolutely.
Which is different for someone with a penis.
And some of that is like literal, like there are literal actual fucking health benefits of masturbating. Go look it up. But I was going to say, like, I was like, there are, like, for a good amount of time. So for a good amount of time, like, usually. So my usual self-pleasure practice is, like, I actually am, like, I wish. So what I should do is set aside every single night, you know, get my bed ready, turn my light on, and read a book for 20 minutes or an hour. But instead, I, like, set up my bed, like, masturbate and go to bed. Like, that's, like, I wish I was reading, but really. And, like, it's part of, like, it's almost part of, like, a little bit of my routine.
It's a self-care thing.
It's totally a self-care thing. But what I noticed, and I hope this through this logic is following, because I know I can be scatterbrained, but what I noticed when I was really depressed post-breakup was I would just, like, not do that. And I was totally just masturbating to, like, just get off, because I was, like, I just didn't want to think about anything else. And like when you're horny, it's all you can think about. And I kind of liked how it was distracting me from things. And then I would just like, you know, because you can't, I, not really like a, unless I'm high on weed, I can't, I can't do multiple orgasms. I noticed that I can have multiple orgasms if I'm high.
Okay.
But if I'm not, I can't.
There's actually something you said that I don't experience where you said, if you're horny, that's all you can think about.
Yeah.
I feel like the toxic girl boss in me can control it so well.
No, like I'm doing things like I'll be in class or like doing work and I'm like, fuck, I'm horny. But like I'm doing work, but like it's like I can have two trains of thought. It's just like it's just another voice in my head.
No, but I can completely shut it off. Like I'll go months without.
Crazy.
Well, I also don't have like orgasms by myself in the way that you do. So it's not as fulfilling.
I'm also an artist and maybe we're more horny. I don't know.
But I do think that like for me, if I'm horny, like I just. You know, in the Book of Mormon, there's a really funny song called Turn It Off, which is more about sexuality. But turn it off, like light switch. And like for me, I think that sometimes the toxic girl boss in me, if I feel like a urge for masturbation or touching myself, I'm just kind of like, nope, not right now. And then I like deny it. So I actually don't have that experience. Yeah, so I can completely turn it off.
I'm like, yes, like I'm healthy. Like not healthy, but... That's another note is like when I was masturbating, when I was depressed, it wasn't about self-pleasure.
It was about distraction.
It was about an orgasm.
Which meant, did it mean that?
Like I wasn't happy about it. I wasn't like, yeah, let's orgasm. I was just like, oh, it was just like masturbating.
Yeah. I'm honestly so fascinated just by like the logistics of self-pleasure for someone with a penis because like.
Oh yeah.
I'm always curious and I'm not going to say it about my current boyfriend because he really doesn't like me talking about this, but like with like my guy friends or something, like I'm always like, but what do you use? Like, where do you come into? Like, it's on your sheet. It's on a towel. It's in a sock. It's over the toilet. It's in the bathtub. Like, anywhere. I think that logistically, I'm always super curious about it because it's such a, because we also grew up in an all girl household. True. Like, I am so comfortable talking about it.
So this is where I'm like, yes, we grew up in an all-girl household, but I'm okay, because I was, again, you were like, well, you weren't always comfortable talking about sex. Well, actually, I was always talking about sex.
But I think a lot of it is you didn't have sex until you were 16.
18.
But that's what I'm saying. So you've always been comfortable about it, but you didn't really talk about your personal sex experiences.
I was scared of sex, and a lot of that is from sexual trauma and from like.
So that's 4 years.
Scared of my mom getting pregnant. What do you mean 4 years?
4 years since you were 18 and had sex.
Yeah, it's only wow.
So that's what I'm saying. It feels
oh
in
my
your
God,
mind.
That's so exciting because that means I have so much more to experience,
yes.
and learn, and grow. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's actually really exciting to me.
I want to kind of go back to this thing that we were talking about with TikTok because. You got banned on TikTok and
Twice.
It was super emotional.
Twice. Oh my God. And it happened, the first time happened when we were in Puerto Rico. And I feel really bad because, to be fair, I have depression and generalized anxiety disorder, but like, it's really bad. And like, it's
full blown panic attack while
like,
we're in the jungle.
Panic attacks, like hyperventilating, like crying, like not being able to talk about other things. And also, like, I recognize I had anger issues when I was growing up. Like, I literally had anger management therapy for a while. Like, it just sometimes it like comes out, you know, like I know I'm good, but it comes out sometimes. And like, I think that developed into like, I acknowledge a little bit of like a not manipulative, like what's it called? Like I have a streak where I can get like almost like mean, like like it's got the kind of yeah, like I get really mean, and I know it's from my like anger management.
It's just anger.
But I know it's like because I have issues managing my anger. Like I would get mad and I'd like hit you. You know, when I was younger, but like now it's like, well, I'm mad and I'm upset and everyone else has a TikTok. So like, I don't want anyone else to make TikTok. So anytime like my sisters would be like, oh, let's make a TikTok. I'd be like, well, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys for having a TikTok. And you guys are like, Amaya, like we're in Puerto Rico. And I'm like, meow, meow, meow. I'm gonna go read my book on the beach and go away. And I'm gonna go not hang out with you guys and just be bitter and like watch the sunset by myself.
But I do want to.
Which is like, Amaya, calm down. But it's stressful.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Well, and I wanted to kind of harp on it because I think that it brought up a lot of questions. I mean, TikTok, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, like community guidelines and like what you can and cannot talk about.
Or like
and
the falsities of accuracy and artificial intelligence.
Yeah. Software. But there's so much that we could talk about it. But I do think that you getting banned twice on TikTok, a lot of it was related to the content you were making about sexual pleasure.
And connected to the fact that we were basically confirmed that like TikTok was reading me as a younger person.
As a younger person.
Yeah. So TikTok was reading, like their software was basically reading me as someone who was a minor. So I would have content taken down, even if it was like me saying like, get birth control. And they'd be like, oh, because she's like a minor, she shouldn't be talking about sex. So I'd have my content taken out. So I had more guideline like ban or like, what's it called? Like I got more videos taken down than I should have. But I was talking about things maybe I shouldn't have, but like, I think it's fine.
But I think that what it brought up to us was kind of this debate of like, how much can we talk about sex, right?
Can we talk about sex?
Yeah. Well, and also like when we talk about
how
sex.
How much
like
are we like allowed to, should, comfortable?
But like,
yeah.
With TikTok, for example, you can talk about sexual pleasure or like sex tips if it's in an educational way.
Hashtag educational content.
Hashtag educational content. However, it's like not allowed if it's just talking about sex for the sake of sex. Similarly, you know, me and Issa talk to you about like I even catch myself sometimes being like, should I tell a man not to talk about that? Like, is that too far or is that totally right? Like on Instagram being like, belly button.
Yeah.
Like Amaya got her belly button pierced for the second time because the first time she had sex and the friction caused an infection.
A lot of friction.
And like when you talk about it openly, I think people are always like, we didn't need to know that. But I do think, like, I wanted to ask you.
But it's like, what if somebody out there gets their belly button pierced and they don't realize that it will affect their sex life for 6 months?
But what I wanted to ask you is, like, I think that both being, like, influencers, creators, like, we in some ways are trying to create a digital space that mimics our hopeful
vision
of reality, right? Yeah. My vision for reality is we're all open
about
periods.
This is my space and this is how I wish that we talked and interacted.
So in your dream space, you have your TikTok back now. In your dream space, in this dream world, what does talking about sex look like to you?
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save money on your insurance? Of course you would. After all, who wouldn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all of the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
This show is part of the Pro Democracy Podcast Coalition. I think most of us agree that in a functioning democracy, the winner should be determined by the voters. Well, that almost didn't happen in 2020. Now extremists are working to intimidate and replace nonpartisan election workers with quote-unquote yes men who might reject election results. The only thing that will stop them is us. We've partnered with the grassroots pro-democracy organization, Represent Us, to give you the tools you need to protect free and fair elections. Learn more and get involved. Visit represent.us/pod to learn more.
I have this like, well, so I want to answer, but I also have this like instinct to be like, I just want to preface, like, I think that I need to call out the fact that we grew up in, you know, we grew up going to church every Sunday, and like I was just never somebody who felt connected to the church. Like I wish I did, but I just, you know, like you at a certain point, like you felt connected to.
So these societal, you're saying these societal rules have never applied to you.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, I think I am somebody who honestly was like I tried to mimic a lot of I felt myself as a young person mimicking and parading as a person who would care about like family values and like the values of Portland, Oregon, and the, you know, the values of my community and my friends. And I didn't talk about certain things because I was trying to parade as this person. But I know that internally I was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
So I want to preface that because I think that I much prefer a world with the very basic guidelines of like, don't be an asshole, don't hurt people, don't be stupid, don't, you know, don't talk about things just for the shock value. Like that's dumb. But like, I wish like the way that I move through the world is I am a verbal processor. I say what's on my mind. If people follow me on TikTok, they know that like a lot of people in my comments, I love going on live because I just get to talk and nobody interrupts me, you know, like verbally. It's just all comments. And people are constantly in my comments like, keep her on track. Nobody comment so she can finish the story because I'm jumping around everywhere. I'm a verbal processor. So like in my world, it's like if you have a thought on your brain, let's share it. Like, let's talk.
But it's also,
I know what, like, I like knowing what people are thinking. Like, don't be an asshole. Don't be, you know what I mean? Like, I wish that we had an openness, a level of openness and comfort with each other as people to be able to share what's on our mind and be ourselves. Because I think, I really truly believe that everyone's really fucking weird. You know,
but also
I really think everyone's weird. Like, some people say all the time to me, they're like, if I'll say something that's like, quote unquote, edgy, like, I masturbate with a hex bug when I was a kid and people are like, oh my God, I did that too. Like you're saying what everyone wants to say. And I'm like, no, I'm just saying what actually happened and what we're actually thinking. And I don't think I actually do that in it well. Like, I don't think I do it well, but I have heard that comment a lot. And I wish we all did that. Like, you know, I don't know if that makes sense.
Kind of. I also think when it comes to like the ideal future though, and like your relationship with, I mean, you can say we should all talk about what's on our mind.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a bad way to phrase it. I think I was specifically thinking about like, because we were talking about sex so much. And also just like, for me, it's like my core things of like mental health and identity. And
but you're talking about culture around sex in a way that I think is really different, right? I think that there are different layers to advocating.
Oh, yeah, not in like a, yeah, because I see where I went wrong. It's the kind of like.
Wait, let me finish. Sorry. I think that there are many different layers to this, right? You can say, I believe that we should have sex ed, right? Everybody should know genitalia. We should be educated on gender as a social construct. We should all feel open about like what consent is.
Yeah.
Then there's the other layer, which is, I think sex should be a super possible recreational thing. We can be really open about it. We should have open conversations about it. And then I think that there's this other layer, which I think that maybe the more open layer, which you talk about, which is, you don't need to have casual sex. You don't need to, like, it's not determining your relationships, but creating a culture in which it is so sex positive that sex and sexual experiences become something you brag about, right? Which is like, you go onto social media, you literally meet people who just pierce your ear impulsively.
Yeah.
And you say, oh my God, I just had great sex last night. Like, same as talking about food.
I don't do that. Like, that's not what I want. Like, I don't do that to people. Like, I'm not constantly putting my sex, like, in people's face.
No. But I'm saying, well, on social, if someone's never followed you and you show up on the For You page, right? Like in a dream world, like I think that the culture you're trying to create.
I would hope they're not like, oh, great heavens.
But no, but what I'm saying, that is the culture kind of that you have been trying to push for and why you got banned on TikTok was, I feel like.
Well, why is it so bad? Like my question is, why is that so bad? Like, why is it so bad that I had sex?
I'm not saying it's bad.
No, that's my question to TikTok.
But what I'm saying is, I think that doesn't seem like it's more of a question to you, right? In a dream world, is it normalized? And how do we normalize being able to openly share on social? I just want everybody to know that I had amazing sex, right? And then follow up question.
That, but like, okay.
Follow up question. Like, I'm genuinely asking this out of curiosity, right? Because I think I'm still working through my own barometer of like how much is too much, right? Like if I'm on social or if like literally we're on a podcast, right? At what point in my personal opinion am I like, okay, that's too much, right? Can I come on and say,
do think I'm too much.
But I had great sex last night and it was so amazing and I feel really great in my body, all the way to, he went down on me for 35 minutes and I've never gushed so much. Like, I'm genuinely curious, right? Like,
Issa says I have a problem with descriptions.
No, but that's what I'm saying, which is like, I think in a dream scenario, like, I am personally not someone who's going to go into graphic detail because I do think I have a lot of internalized shame about it. And like,
yeah. Here's the thing is, this is like my dream world. Like, you asked in a dream world.
No, I'm asking in a dream world.
I was like, this is my world. But I think that I...
Okay, in your dream world, see, the period, way that, what's
the
your
way
answer?
That, the way that I'm... Okay, but this is nuanced, Nadia, because you're asking me to describe a culture that would fit everyone's needs, hopes, wants, cultures, or things. When in reality, like, you know the whole, like, oh, main character syndrome thing? Well, it's like, I'm the main character of my world, just like you should be the main character of your world. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So when I talk about what I want for the world, what I mean is my world... I don't know.
Yeah, what do you want for your world?
Like, but more like, this is what I wish I could do for myself and everyone would respect me and be okay with me and still be like, oh yeah, that's just a Maya.
And that you wouldn't get banned from TikTok.
Exactly. Like, that's how I wish. I wish for everyone to be able to engage with sexuality and sex and the topics of sex in a way that is comfortable for them, in a way that feels safe for them, right? Not asking them to share too much, not asking them to hold back. And just like, I wish that, like, I understand the whole, like, his throbbing member, da, da, da. Like, I understand there's a way that you can talk about sex that, like, makes people really, like, Nadia's giggling, like, that makes people uncomfortable. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, we should let people walk around the world and, like, talk about that, and we should be like, oh, that's just, let them do that. Because that's, like, exactly what I'm saying. Like, that's egging for a reaction. Because you have to be respectful, and, like, if I'm in a room of all people who, like, don't like talking about sex, I'm not going to talk about sex and make them uncomfortable. You know, when I'm at a dinner table full of people who don't curse, even though I curse all the time, I'm not going to, I actually hold back. Like, I try. You know what I mean? Like, okay, cursing is different. It's just in my lexicon. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not asking people to be able to be disrespectful. I'm just wishing that I'm saying there is a way to be disrespectful talking about sex and engaging and making other people uncomfortable.
Well, it's like a consent. It's sexual, a consent thing.
It's sexual harassment to go around, right? Yeah. Have you ever had a boy come up to you in high school and be like, you want to hear about my sexual stuff?
Yeah,
and it makes you so uncomfortable. I'm like, that is literally sexual harassment. I'm not asking us to excuse that. I just wish that we were able to respect and engage each other's sexual experiences and respect each other's limitations about talking about sexual experiences in a way that doesn't hold a judgmental or emotional value. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? I think I phrased that a little bit better.
Yes, and again, I think I'm playing devil's advocate because these are things that I struggle with internally, right?
Yeah.
But like, some people hate my period content, right? Because they're like, this is harassment in and of itself. Because as you said, okay, the example of a high school... Wait, listen.
That's stupid.
The example of a boy coming up to you and... unsolicited telling you all this stuff about his sex life, and it's like harassment, right? That's not something I wanted to know. That's not something I wanted to see. Yeah. It pushes me out of my comfort zone. On social media, when you're a public figure, when you're, you know, I put a warning at the beginning of this podcast, but if you come up on someone's For You page with content that is very sex positive, very celebrating, or when people see my period blood content, they're like, I did not ask for this. It was unsolicited. There was no
algorithm
warning.
Did.
But do you see what I'm saying? Like, these are why, like, I was so excited to talk to you about this because I do think that, like, we love talking about sex.
That's actually kind of I'm actually like, fuck, I have to actually think about that.
Like, we love talking about sex, but I also think it's like, how do we talk about sex in a way that is so open? Like, how do we talk about pleasure in a way that, by the way, is not going to push people too far beyond their own capacity around their relationship with their bodies? And honestly, like, I've been deconstructing a lot of, like, I mean, I never thought about white supremacy as a term that applied to my life until 2 years ago, right? When 2020 happened, and then I think we had this cultural debate around white supremacy and how it shows up in the workplace, how it shows up in our patterns.
Racial positioning.
Yeah. And to me, a lot of that conversation made me realize, like, some of the judgments I even have about being sex positive, because I feel like for me, I was raised by a mom who was literally 3 years behind social progressively than when you were at sexually active age. Like, mom was still pretty Catholic, stricter Catholic when I was coming into my teen years.
She was.
And like, we still went to church when I was 13. Yeah. We did not go to church when
we
were 13.
We literally only stopped going to church. Well, and skipped every other weekend at that point. But you and mom and Issa would go to church regularly, but you stopped when our pastor started going on an anti-abortion rant.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I think that for me, I've been deconstructing a lot of even current stigma that I still have. And like, when I catch myself being like, oh, is that too much? Or for example, I talk about this stuff on Tigress. I don't talk about this stuff on TikTok because I'm so nervous about it.
Yeah, getting banned and whatnot.
Not only banned, but also I think that,
I don't think that you had a better answer for that question though.
Like, what do you mean?
What is your answer to like why it's okay for you to post period content?
So, well, very great question. But I do actually have an answer to this. My answer is that I think that period and sex are really different. And I think that too. It is an unfortunate.
Why can't you compare it?
Yeah. It's an unfortunate reality that's very rooted in misogyny to equate periods with sex. Sex is optional. Mm-hmm. Sex is about pleasure. Yep. Periods are about a biological function. And I think a lot of the people who come to my defense will say, you don't get a content warning when you get your first period, you know? And for me, I think that like asking for a content warning about periods is like asking for a content warning about your natural body.
Yep.
Versus asking
you're
for a content.
You're going to grow armpit hair.
Exactly. Asking for a content warning about sex to me is different because I think it is more sex is, and talking about sex is deeply connected to talking about consent and all of those things. However,
reproduction.
Yeah. But I do think it is something to think through.
Yeah.
I want a sex positive culture because
sex is responsibility.
Why am I 24 right now and I can't make myself orgasm? I think it is very much linked to thinking, oh, this isn't something I do. This is an inappropriate thing.
Yeah.
This is not a good use of my time. Like, which is, by the way, it is like connected to white supremacy, which is not prioritizing your pleasure, your joy, your time. But I think that like for me, I love talking about sex on Tigress because to me, this is like a more private, safe space where like, I mean, you saw the first few minutes of the episode. I'm like, here's what we're going to talk about. This is a rated R episode. And you literally can't see what's coming next. And you listen to it in order. So to me, I come on Tigress and I'm like, yeah, let's do a rated R podcast and talk about anything that we want to. Like, this is more of our space versus I realize that like it's a lot more clicks for someone to listen to this episode than it is like scrolling on a For You page and it comes up.
Of course.
But this is what I wanted to talk to you about, which is like, but in a dream world, do we actually fight for a space in which hearing about someone's masturbation isn't like something only adults talk about?
Something that we would talk about a lot when I was a sex educator with Planned Parenthood though is kind of in line with that argument, though, is like, why isn't sexual education included in, like, oftentimes in sex ed class, which is called sex ed class, you barely talk about sex, which is what is, so it's supposed to be like, right? Like, sex is a very small part of sexual health.
Well, let's talk about, I feel like sex ed and comprehensive sex ed is about biological sex on an individual level, not about like having sex.
Exactly. Well, I'm talking about like sexual pleasure and like consent. Like it's like how like Planned Parenthood gets boiled down to like abortions. It was like, no, that's like
it's
one
so
of
much,
them. That
yeah.
is what like, I don't know the statistic, but it's like less than 10%. It's like some crazy small percentage of like the actual services that Planned Parenthood offers, right? It's like sex and pleasure and masturbation. That is a small part of consent and emotions and relationships and periods and foreskin, right? Yeah. Like there's like so many IUDs and there's so many parts of sex ed that is important and how we think about our bodies and body health and eating, like this eating, that's all part of sexual health. And I think the argument for comprehensive sex ed, which I'm so, we need this, we need sex ed, right? I mean, you know this, it's like, if we are able to create a culture that supports young people from a very young age to feel open, engaging with curiosity about sexual health, not sex, just sexual health, then we might have a culture that is more educated, informed, and open to like
sex.
To have sex in a way that's safe, healthy, respectful, consensual for everyone. And that's my argument. I think that is the crux of, I think, my like talking about sex and trying to find the words is the crux of that is I just want us to live in a world where we are open enough to have discussions on things that maybe, you know, this is gray area or this. Because if we have a culture where we are just more open, then we would avoid so much misunderstanding and hurt and pain and trauma and like overreaching of boundaries. If we're, you know, even like I've had experiences where it's like, well, if you just asked if I liked that, that wouldn't have happened. Or like,
yeah,
well, if you could tell that I didn't like what you were doing, why didn't you stop and say, do you like this?
Yeah.
You know, like that's just the two really specific examples. I know exactly what you, I know, you know, yeah, what I'm talking about, but it's like, it's just like, if we were more open, then we'd have more communication.
Yeah. I mean, I think like, I mean, you and I could talk about this for hours, literally, whatever, because it is such a nuanced conversation. And I feel like we also didn't have this conversation to be like, here's our answers. I think that for us,
there's
like,
no answer.
These are the questions. These are purely questions, and questions that I think that like, we aren't ever going to solve. It's going to be constantly changing, ever evolving thing. And like, I'm excited to keep talking about it too. I think that like at the end of the day, I'm just really happy that you have your TikTok back, because I do think that the things you are talking about and like owning pleasure and owning your body and is amazing. And I think that when people hear your story of like how far you've come to be able to talk openly about your body, or honestly, even open to like having sex in a way that is for you and not and for positive. Anyone else and positive way. Like,
and I don't asking for reciprocation.
Yeah, like the more
and saying, can we just not do that? I don't like that.
There's a lot there that I think like we can keep talking about too. Like, but I'm glad that you're on the platform, and I think that hopefully these platforms create other ways to censor. Have space for this. No, not even censor.
To like not censor. I
mean, or not to not censor, but also to like create space or like 18 plus places that are like verified and like open absolutely. For you to talk these. Like,
there needs to be an option.
These there aren't really options, and I think that you've kind of been at the behest of being, you either have an account or you don't have an account. And it was really scary. And like, I'm really happy you're back now. And it is nerve wracking, but I don't know. I think that the more people know about
feeling of surveillance. I think that just really got me.
The more people know about your story, the more I think that like, it is so inspiring. And like, I'm inspired by you as your older sister. And
I'm sorry about you.
We're going to have a great night, which is very sex positive. Funny story. I got invited to an influencer overnight at a hotel by a sex story audio company. Like,
which
literally,
I've known since they started.
Yeah, an audio, like basically an it's like audio porn,
I'm
right?
A huge fan. Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
So it's an audio porn. They invited me to an overnight, and it was supposed to be like a self individual overnight, and you're supposed to like listen to the stories, and like they're gonna have like sexual pleasure things. And I emailed back and said, hey, can I bring my sister? It's her birthday. So they emailed me today, the little check-in, being like, listen to some Dipsy stories before you go to sleep. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be with my sister.
Yeah,
so
me and Nadia are going to listen to porn together.
No, we are not doing that.
No,
we are not doing that.
Absolutely
not. But we will appreciate it, and we'll listen to it
on our own. I think it'd be funny if we like listened to it and like talked about it after, like, what the fuck was that? Like, oh my God. Like,
I do not want to do that, but I'm very excited, because we will order room service, and we will find pleasure in other ways.
Absolutely.
Like food pleasure.
Which, it's all linked.
Yeah, it's all linked. And we're celebrating Amaya's 22nd birthday. And we're also going to like a really exciting pasta restaurant that's hard to get a reservation at.
Super sexy also.
Super sexy. Anyways, love you so much and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.